This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And right now it's a 75-degree Arizona sunshiny day right in the middle of January. That's why everybody comes out here this time of the year. But I don't know why nobody wants to come out here in July when it's 117, but, you know, to each his own. So today we continue our conversation with Jan Coleman. She is a former porn actress who has spent the past 17 years exposing the lies and damage of the sex industry while advocating for its victims. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist intern, ordained chaplain and intervention leader for the Christian anti-sex trafficking organization Kinos in Germany, where Jan is calling in from right now. Jan, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
So I'm going to begin by reading some statistics from the National Center on Sexual Exploitation from Washington, D.C., and then get your feedback. Financial sextortion is one of the fastest-growing crimes targeting children. Online enticement increased more than 300% from 2021 to 2023. Last year, the cyber tip line received 36.2 million reports of suspected child sexual exploitation online, containing more than 105 million images, videos, and other files. This is a historic high. And then the average age of exposure to prosecutable pornography, we're talking child porn, is age 12. More than half of kids say they viewed violent pornography. What's going through your mind when you hear all this, and what should we be doing in the church?
Well, statistics, right? when I hear those numbers, my first and foremost thought is those numbers are significantly higher than they're being reported. And the reason I say that is because human trafficking and pornography is such a criminal industry. It's hard to catch perpetrators as they're committing the offense. And a lot of people who are victimized often go unheard, whether it be by their choice because they would just much rather forget what happened to them, or because they don't have resources in their area that they feel confident in enough to reach out for that help. And so I think that the numbers are actually much higher than that. Like in Germany, where I'm at right now, you know, human trafficking is a significant issue. In 2022, authorities identified 1,672 victims of human trafficking, and 62% of those were subjected to sexual exploitation. Again, I think that number is much higher than it actually is, because there's so many women that are coming here from different countries that don't properly get registered, right? They fly under the radar, whether it be because their trafficker is causing them to do that, or they themselves don't feel like they'll be protected if they register the way that the German government wants them to, or, you know, that they'll be deported back to their country of origin. And so, you know, it breaks my heart because I know that it's much higher than it actually is. And the biggest thing that people can do, right, is educate themselves, right? what do you know about the porn industry would be my first and foremost question. Like, what do you honestly know about it? And then finding things in your area, right, of influence, your sphere of influence, where you can make a difference, whether that is volunteering your time and efforts in a program that maybe your church has begun to reach out to these kind of women in strip clubs or, you know, on the street. Like in Vegas, I know that there's Hookers for Jesus, right? They actually go out on the street to reach the prostitutes on the street. It's not legal in Las Vegas, but it's still happening every day. You know, so there's a way to get plugged in, right? Whether that's supporting a ministry that you know already fights this good fight, or getting involved in some kind of other way. There's always something that you can do.
Mm. And so I want to say these words, that the porn industry is really a mission field, is it not?
It is, very much so. And that mission field, as much as I've seen God do the work that he has to dwindle numbers as far as like porn conventions and, you know, helping to institute laws to create greater protections for people inside of the industry and to protect, you know, children from viewing pornography in different states, you know, there's still so much more work that needs to be done. And I don't see this mission field ever drying up because until the day that the Lord comes, we know that there's going to continue to be sin in this world. And so there's going to continue to be men and women in this industry that need to be reached.
So let's say you're speaking at a church and you want to recruit them or encourage them to start some kind of ministry to women who are being trafficked, either in strip clubs or whatever it is. What would you say?
Again, it's about knowing your area, right? There's something that, you know, going on in your area, like a strip club or you know, you think that there's some kind of underground brothel or something like that happening, right? It's getting to know what's actually happening and where. I would say target your area first and pray about it. Constantly bathe it in prayer. A lot of what Kainos will do here in Germany is if we have a location that we haven't been to yet, but we want to enter that location, we will first do some prayer walking around that location. You know, just like in the walls of Jericho, right? We're praying that they come down. So we want to have open hearts and open minds and open doors, especially so that we can do the work. There's a lot that goes into it, right? You have to figure out what kind of gifts you're going to bring, what kind of message you're going to bring. Like, we bring Bibles, we bring tracts, we bring them makeup, we bring them like little spiritual note cards, encouraging them in the love of Christ. There's different things that you can do. Sometimes we just bring them cookies. Like at Christmas, we always do a cookie drive, and we always bake tons of cookies and bring it to them, and we bring them little Christmas gifts. You know, something that's going to be specifically meaningful to them. You know, so it's really knowing that and knowing what you're going to bring, and then also making sure that you're protected and safe, right? You do want to survey the area. You do want to kind of get a better idea of what's happening around you because you want to be safe going in. We always go in teams of 2 to 3, and that's for our own personal protection and safety. And then we also have teams on the outside that will wait for us just to make sure and keep like messaging us to make sure that we're okay and that nothing bad is happening to us. So there's a lot that actually goes into it, but if somebody would like more information on what they can do in their area and how they can go about it, I would be happy to provide that information. They can reach out to me personally.
Mm. And I imagine you come under a lot of spiritual attack and assault and oppression, and what does that look like?
Yeah. So the spiritual warfare can definitely be extremely heavy at times. A lot of my spiritual warfare, honestly, I mean, in porn conventions, I've literally had people, porn producers come up to me and get in my face and yell at me. You know, sometimes even in the brothels and strip clubs, we'll have women that are like, no, why are you here? When we did our walk for freedom here, in Germany, you know, there was a lot of residents who were like yelling at us to go away, that it's legal here, it's not a problem, you know, we should just go home, stuff like that. But a lot of the spiritual warfare that I face personally is in my dreams. I have a lot of dreams where I'm literally fighting the devil and demons, and I just have to constantly stay prayed up. You know, things have happened all of a sudden, like back to back to back, whether with me directly or especially with my family, that I'm like, okay, I believe that this is a spiritual attack. You know, I don't just go around accrediting Satan, you know, for every little mishap in my life. I don't want to give him that kind of power or glory, you know, ever over me. But I definitely have an idea when things are truly a spiritual attack. And so I think that's something else for somebody to consider, that if they really want to get into this kind of ministry, it is extremely heavy, and it is not for everybody, and that's okay. You know, I would suggest that first and foremost, you pray about it and ask God if this is something that he wants you to get involved in and do, and just make sure that you start preparing your heart and mind for that, because the attacks do come, just like anybody who's in ministry, but it's much heavier, it's much darker, and these places are not easy to go into.
Mm. Do you get attacked with fear, anxiety, attacks on your body?
I have before. One instance I know especially was I was about to go on an outreach. This was back when I was with the Pink Cross Foundation, Shelley Lubin, and I was like literally an hour before I was supposed to get up and go to my plane, you know, go to the airport, and all of a sudden I got hit with this horrible, horrible fever, and I started coughing, and my body was killing me, and I felt like I had gotten run over by a truck, and it was instant. And I was just at the point where I was like, I don't think I can go. And I got on the phone with Shelley, and she was like, look, you know, the decision is up to you, but I really feel like this is the devil trying to stop you from what God has for you. And so we prayed, and I got on the plane, and as soon as I got there, I felt better. you know, so stuff has definitely happened like that to me in my life as well. And, you know, when you're chosen, things are going to happen. It's just, you can't escape that, right? But, you know, we know that the end result is God wins. And that's the most important thing, right? He said that he has overcome the world, and he has. So we're not supposed to walk in that fear, and so I don't, right? I walk in there with God's boldness that he has given me, knowing that according to his word, he goes before me, he stands with me, and that he will take care of my enemies for me. I don't have to worry about it. So yes, it's still not easy, but I go in there with that knowledge and that insight that God is with me, and because he is with me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Mm. I think spiritual warfare is a topic that really needs to be brought up in every church, especially in these times we live in. So yeah. For those who may not know much about it, what does it look like when you're attacked to, whatever, take up your authority in Christ, pray? How does that look like to overcome?
Saturating yourself with Scripture, you know, really getting in your Word day in and day out. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I'm praying. I'm going to my devotionals. I have two that I'm in right now. I go to my Word, right, throughout the day. I'm praying throughout the day. You know, if I'm driving, I'm praying in my mind, you know, or I'm praising in my car. I'm constantly walking in God's Word. It doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that I don't fail miserably. I do. I'm still human. But I repent right away if I feel like there's something that I've done that I shouldn't have done. And, you know, that is coming from a heart's desire to really walk with and be in line with God's word. And I think that's the most important piece, is that if you're seeking God first, right, all these things will be handed to you, just like he said in his word. And so, you know, prioritizing God is a must, is an absolute must, whether you're, you know, doing a ministry or not. If you say that you're a believer, then that means that you are trying to constantly pursue God, and that doesn't change.
Mm. I think that's well said, and the average American will spend more than 2,000 hours a year in entertainment, whether it's video games or movies or going to sports events or watching sporting events. So that type of lifestyle is not going to get it, is it?
No. I mean, you can either be of the world or you can be in and of the Lord, right, and of His word, and in His purpose and in His plan. You can't have it both ways. Mm. And I think that there are just so many distractions that get us to turn our eyes away from the Lord, right, or get us to make excuses as to why we can't spend more time in the Lord, but yet we're constantly scrolling on our phones, right? Or we're on our laptops looking up something else, or we're spending hours on end, you know, watching movies and chilling, watching Netflix, you know. And all of those things in moderation are not bad, right? But if we're dedicating more time to that than we are to, you know, our Father in heaven, and to His word, and really seeking what it is that He has for us and His plan and purpose for us, then we're doing ourselves the most damage. We're doing a great disservice to ourselves and to our spiritual lives and, you know, to our future, because God has so much for each and every one of us. You know, He didn't promise that life would be easy, but He promised that He would be with us through it all. And I want what God has for me. I don't want what I see or what I think I need for myself. I know that God's plan is greater. You know, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, He has the ultimate plan and purpose for us, and I want that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And comfort gets in the way of that. I mean, sometimes obedience means suffering, right?
It does. It does. You know, and that, again, it goes back to where He didn't promise that life would be easy. He just said, you know, take heart that He's overcome the world. And so in knowing that, right, we know also that Christ suffered for us, right? He suffered such a horrible death that He should have never had to endure, but He did that so that way we could be one with Him in unity, so that we could walk with Him, so that way we could be open to receiving the gifts that He has for us, the goodness that He has for us. And, you know, trials and tribulations are going to come. It's just a fact of life. It doesn't mean that it's always an attack spiritually or from the devil. You know, sometimes it's just life, right? But regardless of the situation and regardless of if it's a spiritual attack or if it's something that's just happening because life happens sometimes, we know the one true God, right, has us, that He is for us, and He goes before us, and He makes a way for us when there seems to be no way. And if we keep holding on to that, and if we keep seeking that, right, He's going to continue to guide us and give us everything that we need. You know, what we see, what we want for ourselves is not always what we need. You know, but God is so good, and He's so gracious, and He loves to give good gifts to His children, too. Yeah. And I've borne witness to that myself. You know, I've asked for things as simple as, like, a ceiling fan, and God has manifested that in a new home for me. You know, like, it's just crazy, like, the simple things that I know that God pays attention to is what I'm getting at. You know, and I've seen Him give me those things in my life. And it's not just about getting, right? But more importantly, it's about receiving His presence and, you know, His plan and His purpose for your life.
Mm. It's well said. So I'm going to read from an article and then get your feedback on it.
Okay.
Porn use among Christians reaches all-time high. Porn use among Christians, including pastors, has now surpassed the national average for Americans in general, and this rise is doing so largely unchecked. The Liberty Council reported, new data suggests a majority of Christian men and a rising percentage of Christian women view pornography occasionally, while a majority of pastors have struggled with porn at some point in their lives. Currently, 61% of U.S. adults report viewing porn. A new study from Barna and Pure Desire found that 75% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women view pornography on some level. Overall, most U.S. pastors don't see porn use as a problem for their congregation, revealing a profound disconnect between pastoral perception and actual behavior. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it is extremely unfortunate. You know, viewing pornography poses significant spiritual, relational, and personal harm, especially for Christians and pastors who are called to live a life of holiness, right, and to serve as examples to others. You know, when you're thinking about spiritual consequences, right, it's sin against God. Pornography leads to lust, which Jesus explicitly warned against, equating it with adultery in Matthew 5:28, right? And so viewing it really undermines a commitment to purity and holiness, which is God's plan and purpose for sexual activity between one man and one woman. It really hinders spiritual growth, right? Porn creates a barrier between the viewer and God. I feel like I need to say that again. Porn creates a barrier between the viewer and God. It dulls out spiritual sensitivity, making prayer, worship, and Bible study less meaningful, right? Because your mind is consumed with pornography. Pornography, if you look into the science of it too, one of the references that I love to use is Fight the New Drug. And you can go to their website. It breaks down how the brain chemistry actually changes even after one exposure to porn. So I would encourage others to really look into that as well. And it violates God's design for sexuality. You know, God designed sex to be sacred. It's a sacred act within the covenant of marriage. Pornography completely distorts that and devalues this design. You know, it harms marriages. Porn creates unrealistic expectations about intimacy, often leading to dissatisfaction and conflict within marriage. You know, if I was a wife who caught my husband viewing pornography, I would be devastated. And immediately I'm thinking, I'm not enough. What is it that I'm doing wrong in my marriage that would cause my husband to want to look outside of our marriage, right? So it causes a great deal of damage in marriages. And then, of course, it goes back to what I said in my previous interview with you, right? It's objectification. Porn reduces people to objects, right, for personal gratification. And this completely contradicts what the Bible says about loving and honoring others and being image bearers of Christ, right? We're supposed to see others, even if they don't have a relationship with the Lord, as image bearers of God. And when you're watching porn, you're dehumanizing them, you're subjecting them to become just this object, right? It's not of God, right? And for people who are in ministry, if somebody finds out that you're viewing porn, right, then you have loss of credibility as a pastor, and then you're not setting a good moral example. So how is somebody, especially an unbeliever, you know, supposed to believe that God is this all good God, loving God, when their pastor has been, you know, found to be viewing pornography, right? It's a scandal that not just affects, it doesn't just affect the pastor, but it affects the congregation as well. And it leads to temptation and addiction, right? You know, pornography is very much an addictive thing. And for somebody especially who is already dealing with some kind of addiction issue, right, this just increases their desire to continue to consume porn.
So Jan, we have about 40 seconds left.
Okay, sorry. I can go on all.
That's all right. I'm loving it. I want you to speak to the pastors who see porn is not a problem in my flock.
It's definitely a problem. The numbers speak for themselves, right? Again, even though statistics might not be fully reporting the whole problem, it's a major problem within the church. And something is happening to these individuals in their lives to make them feel like they have to resort to viewing porn. And as a pastor, if you don't confront the issue, then it's just going to continue to grow and fester. And so please if you are a pastor, start talking about this in your congregation today.
Mm-hmm. Jan, this has been great. I love the way you speak from the heart. I love that you're a warrior and a fighter, and we need more of that in the church. We need more warriors and fighters, so thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. I appreciate you allowing me to speak on this.
All right, thank you, my friends. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.